What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yes, CJ is always here with something to look at on movies and TV as well. CJ, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Philip.
All right. Now, controversial in some quarters, I suppose, movie about Neil Armstrong, first man, up tonight. A new experience in movies. Not 3D, it's 4D. Not even 4D, it's 4DX. We'll have a look at that, plus the TV show Wellington Paranormal. Let's start with this movie about Neil Armstrong, a look at the life of the astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, of course. It's excited some controversy in some quarters for what seems to be relatively trivial reasons. Anyway, what's it like as a movie?
This is what you're referring to, this supposed controversy, is the absolute, not only epitome of quote-unquote fake news, but it's actually the epitome of distraction techniques used by certain politicians over in the United States, because the reason that certain politicians of a certain party in the United States decided to jump on this film after they heard about it when it premiered at a festival, when they hadn't even seen it, was that it didn't actually show the moment in a camera shot of Neil Armstrong planting the American flag on the moon, and therefore they declared it unpatriotic. Now, you know something was going on in their party that day that they wanted to distract from, because it's just so ridiculous it makes me mad, so we should move on from that.
All right. Now, it's got Ryan Gosling plays Neil Armstrong.
Yes. It is the story of Neil Armstrong in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it starts in 1961 and it ends when he lands on the, spoiler alert, moon, and does not plant the flag in this version. And there's a very good reason why. You'll see when you see the film why they don't show that and they show something else instead. Anyway, this film slots right in there between The Right Stuff and Apollo 13. Mm-hmm. And I loved both of those movies.
Well, they were both outstanding movies.
Movies. And this fits right in there in many, many ways, obviously in telling the true story of the NASA space program, but also aesthetically in many ways. This film harkens back to a style of storytelling that is willing to take its time and is more character-based rather than wham-bam action. Thank you, ma'am. You know, I mean, The Right Stuff in Apollo 13, as much as they had tense moments and were full of, you know, the drama of space flight, they were about the human beings. They were about the astronauts and they were about the astronauts' wives. Mm-hmm. And they were about that push and pull, weren't they? About, you know, men who are willing to risk their lives for this rather crazy, when you think about it, program run by the United States government, and the women who lived in these houses near these bases and routinely had to sit and wait for their men to maybe not come home. And that dynamic is once again explored in this film. And it is such a shame, I have to say, that even though I loved The Right Stuff and I loved Apollo 13, I found this film not... it didn't grab me at all, and I found it, unfortunately, very boring. There are three problems it faces, three challenges, and I don't think it overcomes any of them. The first is that, essentially, the job of NASA is one of extremely exciting moments of achievement that punctuate years and years of very, very mundane work, of pencil pushing. And indeed, as this film makes clear, it's engineering that took us to the moon. Mm. And Neil Armstrong sort of differentiated himself from a lot of the others because he wasn't a fighter pilot in the armed forces. He was an engineer. Mm. And they needed an engineer, and he was the best, and they got him. And so a lot of this movie is about engineering, and, you know, no offense to engineers. In fact, I hold engineers above everyone else every time I drive over a bridge or drive across a road. But engineers are stereotypically stoic, level-headed, and unemotive. And Neil Armstrong is or was famously those three things, and Ryan Reynolds doubles down on that. He gives an incredibly stoic, level-headed, quiet, understated performance as this understated man. And that's a problem too. So you've got a movie where a lot of it, the downtime, is very wonky, and then you've got a leading man who is desperately unexciting and uncharismatic because he refuses to show emotion. It is the quietest lead performance in Steve McQueen in Le Mans. I mean, it's a real blank slate. And then finally, you can't escape the fact that we do know the ending. And as exciting as you can make the launch sequences and the sequences of, you know, leaving the atmosphere and joining the atmosphere and hooking up and disengaging with various modules in space through shaky camera work and through visual effects and through being inside the claustrophobic cabins, we do know the ending, and in fact, we know the ending better than we knew the ending in The Right Stuff in Apollo 13, because the ending is so simple. He made it to the moon, and he came home, and so did Buzz Aldrin, and it was fine. And so that really does dissipate the tension. And those three things, over the course of about a 2-hour, 15-minute running time, told in a very dry, scientific fashion, make for a very, very dry experience.
What's Claire Foy like? She was, of course, Claire Foy was the star of The Queen.
Yes.
A marvellous actor. What's she like? What does she play in Armstrong's Wife?
She's good, but she's Armstrong's wife, Janet, and it's a thankless role, because we've seen this done before. In The Right Stuff and Apollo 13, we've seen the wives at home stressing out, and when their husbands come home trying to contain themselves and then not being able to help themselves and letting loose because they can't take the intensity of not knowing if their husbands are going to come home alive. We've seen it before. If you haven't, if maybe those films you haven't seen, then maybe this film will be fresh for you. But all those domestic scenes unfortunately feel very repetitive and very lackluster, which is a shame, because if you didn't have Claire Foy in it, then you would just have wonky engineers trying to figure out how to get a man into moon.
All right, this is a little of what First Man feels like.
10,000 feet, switching to lunar mode. Final landing approach.
You're too low. Climb.
Control is degrading.
Slow your rate. Do you read? Kneel.
Lots of space geekery, anyway.
Yeah, this film could be cut down to 90 minutes and be action-packed.
Okay. All right, that's First Man. Now, we've had... We've had 2D. Well, most of us, that's most of what we get. Now, we had 3D, and I think most people got sick of that, thinking it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. In fact, even the 3D TV set seems to have come and gone.
That really came and went.
Come and gone. Now we've got 4D. Hang on. No, we've got 4DX. What on earth is 4D?
4DX is a new experience that you can buy for $30 for a standard adult session. It's brand new through Event Cinemas. I assume Hoyt Cinemas as well. But I got to try it with a bunch of other critics at one of the very, very first sessions the other day at Event Cinemas in town in Sydney. And the film we saw was Venom, which is a new Marvel superhero movie with Tom Hardy. Right. I wish we'd seen First Man, actually. This 4DX would have been better with First Man, and I would have seen a better film, because Venom, not a very good film. But let me tell you about the system. So, as you know, with 3D, you put on your glasses and you get it in 3D.
That's it.
And so this is still in 3D, and then there's a fourth dimension, the 4D, which is physical movement.
So your seat shakes.
Your seat shakes. That's exactly right. So your seat does three things. It hurls you around, it shakes, and then it sprays you with water, and then it also pelts you with blasts of cool air behind your ears and around your ankles. So... demonstrate.
Doesn't sound that great, but go on.
Well, some of it's better than other. It's all interesting, that's for sure. Like, it's worth doing once, there's no doubt about that, but some of it's better than other. So the seat rocking, essentially, basically, at its most basic and most general and most often, echoes what the lead character or lead vehicle is doing in an action scene. So Tom Hardy is on a motorcycle and he slides under a truck in that famous move. And so your seat is lurching to the left and then it's down and then it goes jolt, which is when like the you know. So the
cinema has to be purpose built for this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds very expensive. Massive
cost. Yeah. Yeah, so they'll be promoting the heck out of this. Yes, and your seat is really sending you around. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have bags near near you. You can't have hot liquids, etc. We didn't have to sign anything. I was curious about whether punters are going to have to sign anything.
How many
anything.
People go see the session?
They've converted a big cinema. They've converted Cinema 8 in the town one. It's pretty big, but it's still, I mean, it's, you know, it would still like only be like 100 people. Yeah. Right. Mm. So these are expensive seats. You're sitting very far apart because these seats have to move. Mm. And I think they're in groups of two. So I think you and the person sitting next to you are on the same robotic arm. Uh-huh. So you're being tossed around, lurched around. Then, so if you splash into water or if you're in a rain scene, it starts spurting water at you. That's the only one you can turn off. There's a little button on your armrest. You can turn that off. But why would you? I mean, you're going through everything else. You've paid your $30. Why wouldn't you have the rain? The rain is really good. It's good fun. Although, if they start retro screening stuff, I wouldn't go see, for example, Titanic or Blade Runner or Noah,
no.
because you'd just be soaked by
soaked
the
soaked by rain all the time.
And then the best bit, I mean, the most exciting for the kids or whatever is going to be the fact that it rocks. But for me, the most effective bit is the air because, and this film was quite the right film to show this because these things happened in the movie. When someone is shooting a gun at someone and the bullets are zipping by their ears, these pelts of air are going by your ears and it feels for all the world like bullets have just missed hitting you in the head. But even better, the ankle ones, like if someone's strafing the ground near your feet or the hero's feet on screen with machine gun, it's spitting up the dirt at your ankles and people around me were reaching down at their ankles and touching them. It was quite something and that's quite exciting.
Well, it sounds like fun.
Look, it is fun. I would certainly say it's absolutely worth $30 to go experience once and then if you never do it again, you don't need to. Mm-hmm. It is quite fun. The movie itself, Venom, awful. Terrible. I'd wait for a better film, perhaps. It's no. just another Marvel superhero movie about a person who becomes a creature.
So do the movies have to be shot in this format or can any movie be shown in this format?
I sent the distributors a big list of questions, just anticipating your own. The directors don't shoot for 4DX. Right. So the director of Venom, nothing he shot, as far as I can tell, did he do specifically thinking like, oh, this is a wow, I'm in 4DX. That's all retroactively or retrofittingly done by a company that does all this stuff in Korea.
Right.
Basically, there are 20 different things your seat can do. And so they just deploy these 20 things in various combinations to suit the film. So at a moment in Venom when number 17 would work, followed by number 13, and then a spray of number 6, they'll do that. You see what I mean?
Okay. So it's a 3D film with seat movement.
Yes. And so it's almost always a 3D film and then seat movement 4D. Okay. And then I asked them what the X stood for, and they said that is their secret. Which is just silly, but I assume it stands for extreme.
All right. Venom. The movie's not much, even though it's got Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams, and boy, they can act.
And you know what? He's very good. He does make whatever worth it has, it's thanks to him, because he makes it quite fun.
Yeah. All right. TV show. Wellington Paranormal.
This is a treat. Mm-hmm. Do you know the work of, and I'll mention some of their work, Taiki Waititi and Jermaine Clement?
No.
Jermaine Clement did the TV series Flight of the Conchords with Brett McKenzie on HBO, which was about two New Zealand musicians living in New York. And Taika Waititi, wrote and directed some of those episodes and subsequently has done other work with Jermaine Clement, including a mockumentary film about vampires called What We Do in the Shadows that's a comedy about vampires. And he's made a bunch of interesting, cool, very funny and tender New Zealand films, including Hunt for the Wilder People and Boy. And now this is their mockumentary about paranormal activity in Wellington. So what these guys do, their signature style, is they combine the mundane, the totally everyday banal, with the extreme. So the cops in this show, it's a comedy, it's a full comedy. Mm-hmm. The cops in this show are naive, kind of verging on the unintelligent, but certainly not sophisticated. And that's how all of their characters are. But what they do so well is that they never make fun of these people. These people are never the butt of their jokes. And indeed, they've got nobility in their ignobility because they're always striving to understand more and improve their lot in life, even when they're really naive. And so then you've got them and they are just sort of kind of bumbling local parochial cops. But then a paranormal thing there's an outbreak in Wellington, and so there are freaks and ghouls and goblins and all sorts of nasties running around, and they've got to learn how to do this, but they're kind of the people who take a wrong turn, you know, anyway.
All right, Wellington Paranormal, here's a little of it.
Yeah, we've got to get this girl to her caregivers. She's really unwell.
What's your name, love?
Bazua of the Unholy Realm.
We've got B, I've got B-A.
Bazua of the Unholy Realm.
Okay.
As members of the New Zealand Police Force, it's our job to offer support to those in need, and that takes the support and the respect of the community.
Absolutely. It really does.
Is that the Unholy Realm in Haitaitai?
Officer down.
I've got an officer down.
It's dry, laid-back humour. It's very New Zealand. And indeed, these guys really make the New Zealand idiom work for the humour.
Okay.
It's good. It's very funny.
All right. Now, stars for First Man, the movie?
First Man, I can only give 2.5.
Okay.
It's a slog.
Okay. And the Venom experience?
1.5 for the movie, but yeah. 3 for the experience.
Okay. Yeah, go and have it. Go and check it out.
Check it out.
Does sound like fun.
Yeah.
Terrific stuff. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.